Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hello, Iron Fist fans, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. We are starting off this series with episodes 1 and 2, Snow Gives Way and Shadowhawk Takes Flight. We'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I have no shame in terms of opening songs like this. This is how we're setting the tone, which I think tells you a lot of my opinions. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. We're covering episodes 1 and 2. It's going to be super fun and actually have our panels not here tonight, which is why I'm leading. But with me, I have Emmanuel Wright.
Hey, how's it going? You can find me on Instagram at Young Camel Toe. That's Y-U-N-G Camel Toe. You can also find me on Twitter at Dervis Spitz.
Joelle Monique.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Mike Kalinowski.
Well, what's up guys? Mike Kalinowski here. You guys can find me at Mike Kalinowski up there on Twitter.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you are watching the show live, if you have something fun to say, throw it in the YouTube live chat. We're going to pull that up in just a minute. Or you can throw it in our hashtag, which is ABTV Iron Fist. We're keeping it relatively simple. We've seen the first 2 episodes. Two of us have seen the first 2. Two of us have seen more than that, but we are only talking about the first 2 episodes in this after show. So we ask you to keep the chat, the hashtag, and the comments spoiler free because we don't want to spoil the host and we don't want to spoil other fans who are watching along with this show.
Very good point.
What do we think so far?
We're just throwing
throw it to
thoughts.
You guys. Just go. Just go. First 2 episodes.
I already ran down BHL, so I'll let you guys go.
Yeah,
I've done so much on it.
Because this half the table is the panel, and this half the table are the wonderful people who are filling in tonight.
I don't know. I feel like there's some action. There's definitely some action. I like that action.
Action occurs.
Okay, but it's not like action like we've had in our other Marvel shows, though. It's a different type of action. It's more like, you know, martial artsy. And
Daredevil?
But,
son, what?
But nobody's like dying though. You know what I mean? Like it's just like hand to hand combat. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
But like Daredevil and the other ones, yet. Like people were dying.
Yeah, he didn't have a problem.
You know what I mean?
Killing.
So it's more like you know dojo type fighting. You know?
Okay.
Where he's
right.
just
okay.
So slower. You know?
Well, I'm gonna file that under yet. No one's dying yet.
Yeah, we know people
aside
will.
From plane crashes.
But yeah.
That's true.
Just yet.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. There's dead people. There's plenty of dead people in this show. We just gotta get there. I'm sure there are.
Well, I actually pitched myself for this panel because everyone, if you guys are watching this, might know me. I'm a bit of a DC guy. I host the DC movie news here over at our sister network. So there's a bit of a consensus on the internet that I'm just a DC guy and I hate everything Marvel. And I said, you know what? No, I do love Marvel. So let me get on this panel and show that Marvel love.
How are you feeling now?
And I jumped in and I'm like, maybe this was not is going to be the strong point that's going to show that Mike loves Marvel too.
just have this quiet moment of, oh, I regret that decision.
They set the bar really high with what we've seen so far.
Yes.
And I'll say this, Daredevil... I love and it's the character. So Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, there were highs and lows for me with both of those shows. But as a whole, I can love them for the tone, the style, just everything about it, casting, acting. This, I don't really see a tone. I don't see a style that's have a voice of its own. There was what could have been with this kind of Asian-influenced martial arts 70 vibe, but they didn't go that route for whatever reason.
I mean, cue up Rolling in the Deep. We could have had it all.
Yeah,
and that is an actual request. Actually, can we queue up Rolling in the Deep? Would you be so kind? Thank you.
So I hear the rumors that it gets better after 7.
Interesting theories.
Rumors, okay.
I've heard.
So we'll see. I always keep an open mind.
So the back 6 are where the gold is hidden.
Maybe it's a reverse Luke Cage. For me,
see, and that's
for
what Luke Cage, saying, yeah.
After the first six, it dropped because
the first
of
six felt like the perfect first arc. Yes. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
The first arc of Luke Cage 1 through 6 is the most perfect story ever. Yeah. It's uplifting. You want to, like, skip out. When it ended, I was like, oh, that's such a great... Oh, there was a lot more episodes.
Yeah.
What is happening?
And you just killed one of the best...
Where you just killed my favorite character, yeah.
So, I hope maybe it's... Oh, I'm sorry, am I not...
You're good.
Am I not in?
He's asking if your mic is plugged in.
Oh, well, am I talking into this
I thing? Would hope so. I don't...
Excuse me, I'm going to do some... Oh, there we go, good. We're good now.
Yay!
We're good. Back. Sorry about that, fellas.
Yeah, technical difficulties. Please stand by.
There's this a lot of frustrating show? Things about this show.
Honestly, I think if this had followed Daredevil Season 2, it would have been better received. Because Daredevil Season 2, parts of it were... Let's be real. The Punisher parts were great. The Elektra parts were Why Do You Exist? And would have been better
really?
Left... Oh, yeah. And would have... They got...
It. I just
in my opinion, the Punisher
one,
parts were amazing.
Okay.
And the Elektra part should have been their own season, and trying to mush them together and do everything and therefore not focus on anything was a problem.
Agreed.
Had Iron Fist followed that, had that been released next, when we realize, okay, Netflix Marvel can definitely have some missteps. We just had our Hulk. We just had our Iron Man 2. Like, all right, we got this.
Okay.
They're not perfect. Then I think it would have been better received. But it followed Luke Cage, which for me has been my favorite so far.
Oh,
forwards and backwards.
Agreed.
I liked the back six. I liked all of it.
Yeah.
And Luke Cage was vibrant. Luke Cage had personality. Luke Cage had a color and aesthetic identity that Iron Fist does not have.
And you felt for him too from the get go.
Oh.
Like, from Luke, from the get go, you felt for Luke. You're like, oh man, he's a great guy. Where Iron Fist, like, he's just like a homeless. We don't know. Like, he's a homeless something.
Here's my problem.
Why is he so
homeless? There's going to be a lot of here's my problem here. And
okay,
that's the
please.
Thing, because I have a lot of issues with writing. I have issues with world building. And I have issues with some execution. It's mostly the writing and world building. I'm down for most of the acting. I'm down for most of the cinematography. I don't think it's as amazing as we've seen, which, again, compared to this is following Luke Cage, it's wanting. But we have Danny Rand, who has been missing for 15 years.
Okay.
And he shows up out of the blue. Everyone thinks he died when he was 10. He's like, hey, no, I'm back. It's me. It's wonderful. He's spent 15 years in a monastic order, learning to be a monk, learning martial arts. He has been in the order for 3/5 of his life. He was training with these monks longer than he was rich child Danny Rand.
Okay.
So my issue is, he comes back to New York, and he acts like a rich college dude, bro. There is no way that the monks should have let him get away with that. I feel, I don't know if anyone else at the table is an Overwatch fan, but we
the
had
Genji.
Yes.
Okay.
But we had Genji, who was a punk, got wrecked, spent a good chunk of his time recovering with a monastic order, and is much more zen and balanced about it now. It's like, no, that's actual character development. We don't see that influence with Danny, aside from I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
I think what's most shocking is, like, did you not get any education
right.
while you were there? Like, did you not, you know, even to the point of, like, you must realize how much different you look and how much of an outsider, like, the rest of the world perceives you as you're entering your old, like, you're basically your dad's old business. Like, you're walking into your dad's office
with no
but
shoes.
But you've got no shoes. You're
right,
dirty
right.
as hell. You look to, and you're just like, no, it's fine. I'm Danny Rand. Yeah, dude, no one's seen you for 15 years. Like, why? Why do you think that is an accurate way to broach the situation? Like, even 15 years to plan your return to New York, and this is all you came up with?
Right.
Nothing else?
He shows up every day with the same outfit, no shoes, like, same thing.
I could understand him not being socialized, because we find out in the second episode that Kun Lun is in a different dimension that only intersects with Earth every 15 years
yes.
or so.
Yeah.
And so I get not understanding that things have changed, not seeing how quickly things have progressed. One of my favorite scenes that talked about this was Big Al showing up with a cell phone and showing him Google. Like, I loved that fish out of water stuff, and I wanted...
Except so that moment much is the more most of it. Contrived bull. Like, look,
Big Al was my favorite character. I will put up with contrived stuff to get more of that man on the screen.
Big Al was sweet, but like, yeah, I looked at, like, I used his phone to look up people. I could look someone up for you. Oh, great. Just what I needed, random magical hobo.
It's Captain Exposition.
Right.
You need that guy. That's
stupid.
You need that guy.
No, you don't.
I know, but I saw what the writer was like. Well, we've got to get this exposition covered, and this is how we're going
to
do it.
There are, but like, you know, cafes and all kinds of options for you to explore.
And Al even gave him a tip, like, go get some shoes. He never gets some shoes. He gives him a tip. Al's like, hey, look, you look dirty, man. Like, clean it up.
Yeah, he tells him where to get shoes. He tells him where to find food. Like, I liked Al. And I was sitting there going, all right, you know, if he's in this series and if he's kind of the person that keeps Danny grounded and introduces him to the real world because Danny's missed out on a heck of a lot, like, I'm down. I can see this being a good anchor character. What do you mean he's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Why? Yeah.
Ghost 8386 says Danny's naive. And I've heard this argument a lot because I've been talking about the show to death. But we were like, oh, well, you know, he's, like, young. Like, he's essentially young and naive, and he, like, stopped progressing. And, like, it's like, I don't believe that in order to become the Iron Fist protector of a kingdom of heaven that you weren't getting some kind of educational backbone, some kind of structure, some kind of, like... I just feel like he should be a monk. He doesn't even feel like a monk. Like, he doesn't give off that, like, inner peace, calm, I've conquered my demons kind of presence. And then on top of that, like, what I love about Danny Rand from the comics is he's so funny. Like, he is the gooey-centered heart of the Defenders. And I get very little comedy in this.
Now, okay, not even jumping ahead, but seeing now the Danny Rand that we are going to have in this world... I don't think this is going to gel in the Defenders because Danny and Luke together... Luke is the zen kind of, I'm the soft token. Mike Coulter really plays it soft-spoken, slow. And Danny's the same. There's the no dynamic with them. Danny's the guy that's jumping around going, hey, we got to get a commercial to make Heroes for Hires. We got to put up flyers. We got to do this, buddy. Come on, you and me. That's not the dynamic we're getting. I know this is not the comics, but it's the two very slow zen. It's just like,
it's so confusing.
And Daredevil is kind of relaxed too.
Yeah, you know, so what I mean? It's like there's no that they missed.
Well,
that
Jessica,
element.
Jessica, she's a firecracker.
She's the badass,
but she's a different kind. She's a much harder edge.
Right.
Is the thing they're missing the guy that's going to get them up and be like, yeah, we're going to do the thing. We're going to
like
in
up.
The Justice League, it's the Flash.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
Right,
that's
right,
it.
Right.
So.
And I'm talking about, like, good 90s animated Justice League, like, you know, the good one.
We've done a lot of good Flash comics. Like, there's a lot of good representation. And, wait, are you dissing the show? I can't even with you right now, Katie. I feel like...
No. We haven't had a good cinematic Justice League in a chunk of time.
No, we have not.
I like the Flash. I like the show.
Okay, all right. I was getting concerned for a minute. A little hot under the collar there.
Breathe. This is the show we have problems with.
Iron Fist.
True. I think what's frustrating is, like, there was a lot of conversation before the show started about, like, do we want to race-bend Danny Rand? Is, like, should he, should Danny Rand be here?
About this.
And, like, I feel like, look, if we weren't going to, like, I think the show could have benefited a lot from race-bending Danny Rand because all of the other shows have this nice crux of stories we haven't heard a lot about.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get a lot of women, like, actively seeking vengeance for their own, like, suppression. We don't get a lot of, like, handicapped people, like, out there fighting in the streets, like, you know, attacking not just, like, active villains, but corporations. We don't get a lot of, like, black guys post-prison who are, like, have always been on the straight and narrow and are trying to clear their name. We have a lot of white billionaire orphans. We have so many stories of them. And so it's... But I like Danny Rand. Like, comic book Danny Rand, I live for him. He's so cute, and he's funny, and he's, like... He's such a great, like, personality. And so I think that it's frustrating that we didn't get that Danny Rand on screen.
Let me ask you guys, because now that we're talking about this, I, for one, it bothered me the wanting to gender or to race-bend Danny to be Asian-American or whatever. And not for any reason, but of all the characters, with this character, Danny Rand, and we haven't gotten into the show, and I don't think we're going to, but the fact that he is this white guy, that the white savior, they say, going to Kunlun, becomes Iron Fist, that causes all the residents of Kunlun who are of Asian descent to go, why is this white guy? No, it's us. It's heritage. It breaks the heritage. It's this white guy that's... And that's where the drama comes from, and with... I don't know if they're in the show eventually, but, like, the Thunderer and those characters that come back is like, no, you're an interloper, you're a white, it's us that are the Iron Fist. So, but I don't know if we're going to get to that. So to see this character, it's interesting that this all happened, because like, you take a character like Daredevil, him being white doesn't matter. He could be black, Spanish,
as the character of Matt Murdock. As long as he's Irish Catholic.
Right.
As long as he's blind, too.
Luke Cage has to be black. He has to be. You cannot, absolutely. You cannot race change him at all.
No.
Jessica Jones, she could be a Spanish girl, black girl. It's her rape survivor, and that, mm-hmm. that's her story. Right. But with Iron Fist, they're missing the point, I think, when they... I think... Did you guys feel just because it was martial arts, everyone's like, he has to be Asian?
No, I think that
because...
Here's the other side of that.
I feel that way, though.
Do you kind of?
You know, because he's in a dojo, and, like, the monks are, like, you know, of Asian descent. He didn't have to be, like, Chinese or Japanese, but...
Okay.
Asian multiple something. Points to make here. Number one, Iron Fist would not exist if it weren't for Bruce Lee. The character is created off of the typical, like, Bruce Lee 70s movies. So, to be able to kick back to the... like origins of the story, it would have been really nice to see, and especially because we don't have a lot of Asian American representation in superhero comic books. And to further that point, I've heard a lot of people, 4% in the last 6 years of television characters have been Asian. But further that point, if you made the character of Danny Rand or just a new person entirely, if you want to keep, you know, the wholeness of Danny Rand. Like, I understand, because I love Danny Rand, too. To choose a person who is half Asian American, half white, that outsiderness, that whole, like, I don't fit in anywhere I go, the you're not pure, so you're not welcome here vibe, still is very strong throughout the story and works full stop. It completes the story.
I have a friend who's a very successful writer. He said to me, he goes, Mike, he didn't have to be full. He should have been half.
Yeah.
His mother was Asian and his father was American. And to have you say that made...
That's what's really frustrating, because Louis Tan was in that audition room kicking butt. And if you guys haven't seen Louis Tan's YouTube videos where he's training in the gym, oh my God, dude kicks so much butt. He's got leaps for days, and he's fabulous. And he wanted the role, and he was on the roster for so long, and then last minute... For reasons I will never understand, they were like, "We're gonna pick someone with no martial arts training."
Really should have cast. Full stop. Regardless of race, they should have cast a martial artist who can act.
I think we were all so agreed on that. Marvel's casting, and I think if this actor in the role was knocking out, like Charlie Cox, come on, like, oh my, that's Daredevil, breathing. But now we're watching this, going, oh, there had to have been someone better. I think that's where this is all come back. We're all kind of like, oh, but the half thing is...
Mm-hmm. Well, the second they said Finn Jones... I like Finn Jones.
Sure.
He's done... I've actually met the guy in person. He's a sweetheart. He does really good work. They announced him for this role, and I kind of went... Oh, he's a golden doodle. You don't really want a golden doodle.
What is a golden doodle?
A golden doodle is a dog that is a crossbreed between a poodle and a golden retriever. They are golden and fluffy and adorable. He is a golden doodle.
I agree.
Have you ever seen a golden doodle?
I've seen a golden doodle, but I didn't think about it.
I understand completely what you're saying, because when the promo photos came out, I was like, oh, that's not threatening. Like,
it's the hair.
It's still not the hair.
He's supposed to be. The man does not have the physicality of a fighter.
No.
He just doesn't. And he didn't take the time to develop it for whatever reasons. He made a statement today that said, I only had about 2 or 3 weeks of training, and then we were 14-hour days back-to-back-to-back shooting. So he says he didn't have time to get to the gym. He had a day and a half off a week, which... To be fair, it is exhausting to be on set that long, to be working that much, especially because he also was learning fight scenes, like, day of. But also, like, who coordinated that? Like, I have a lot of questions as to why that was allowed to happen in the first place. If it was Marvel hiring him too late to get a chance to do the work, or if it was him saying, I don't care to do the work, I couldn't say. But for whatever reason, like, that is not an option that should have, like, we were talking before we started, Ant-Man looks like he could kick his butt. That's a problem. Ant-Man should not be physically more intimidating than Iron Fist. That doesn't make sense.
And if you're hiring someone late, you need someone who's already prepared to do the part, not someone who would require months of work. Because at that point, you're shooting yourself in the foot, and you have people like us sitting here and going, he's not a martial artist. He doesn't look like one. He doesn't move like one.
Did he throw that punch? Did he believe that he was going to hit him? Like, you look into his eyes, it's like, he doesn't believe
it. If he's only trained for 3 weeks, I've had more martial arts training than he has.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Ouch.
That's extremely sad.
She can beat the Iron Fist. They went with the more menacing Danny, but I think they failed on it because he's not very menacing.
He's not. He's a golden doodle.
But even then, he could be the Zen warrior with these, you know, the monks that are so quiet and, you know, but he doesn't even exude that.
No, maybe, not that
but it is the beginning,
him.
Though. So maybe he learns to use that.
But you're already
he starts
the
having
Iron
flashbacks.
Fist. I've heard this argument too, but it bothers me because he's already the Iron Fist. If he was trying to achieve Iron Fist and was like still emotionally tangled inside, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, he's trying to figure some stuff up. But as like a guy who's already should already be like a Zen master, like mastered like multiple forms of martial arts and fighting, to come back and not look like he's like mastered even one, I can't.
For you guys out there that are listening or watching this that do not know how he became the Iron Fist, is he fought a dragon, plunged his fist into the dragon's chest.
Right in there.
In a different
and that's
universe.
That's how he is the Iron Fist. So he is an incredible, incredible martial artist. He is, I think, what is it, Shang-Chi might be better than him in the Marvel universe of what? But what we've seen of the TV film, he is the best. Most strongest martial artist out of everything.
But here's the thing.
But we are what we are.
We have to throw out the comics.
Yeah, you
the
do.
MC. Yeah, okay. We do.
You're right.
We do.
Right. You're right.
As much as I hate to say it, because there's a lot of stuff that the comic is doing that I'm like, hey, MCU, this would be really cool.
And it's a new Iron Fist comic.
Points to
tomorrow.
Thor. Yes. Points to Thor. Anyway, we have to throw out the comics because the MCU is a different world. It functions on different rules and it has different characters. So as much as we're sitting here going, the comics did this and that's what makes it great, we don't have those. We have those as a basis of this is what we know about the character and these are our expectations.
Okay.
But we cannot expect the show to be the comics.
And I like to keep them separate, you know? It kind of gives
It
gives you two versions of the Iron Fist. Like, you know, some people will like him. It's kind of like when it comes to hip-hop. Like, some people like J. Cole. Some people like Lil Uzi Vert. Like,
Marvel does.
One's better.
Marvel is now in the habit of what's working on screen is their comics shift and mold to fit the TV and movie verse. That's what they do. Which is
yeah, 616 is
yeah. We're getting
changed.
A new Iron Fist comic that starts tomorrow, and I think it's going to be more in line with this.
Right.
I think so. Which is
God spare me.
We need to see growth.
Was it Matt Faction and David Aja did their run like 2006? They were in Hawkeye, but then before they did 2006. Iron Fist, that whole run. Oh, with
they
the Hydra trying to take over Rand. Oh,
see,
go get those omnibuses.
Guys, we need to talk about the show.
Now let's get into it.
We do.
We really do. This
shows our love of the character. I think all of us love this. You know, we want to see that done right. And
but again, that's something that we need.
I digress.
We have to toss it, sadly. We can use it as a basis of reference, but he is this, he is this, he is this. The show hasn't shown him fighting a dragon, which I'd be down.
That's
but
true.
That's more likely to happen in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So
we've seen him fighting security guards.
Yeah.
And
yes,
hospital
have.
Staff.
Mm-hmm. And security guards posing as hospital patients.
Right. I like that.
Among
scene,
other
by
things.
The way.
Right.
That I feel like that one was well set up right at the end when it shows them beating him up and him just focusing like, oh, we actually talked about this, about how he feels alive in a fight. And that's like, okay, I get it now. I get where we're going. Here's the, all right, please tell me that the doctor is watching this footage.
Yes, because he's doubting the whole time and you're like, come on, you see this right there.
This is what I was talking about with world building, because if you're talking about the MCU, you're also talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as much as the movies don't like to acknowledge it, it exists, it's a thing, and it's canon. And S.H.I.E.L.D. for the past two seasons has been doing stuff with the Inhumans, which is these supposedly normal people have been descended from aliens, and they're starting to get superpowers as their alien DNA is activated. That's the long and extremely short of it. And so, yeah, random normal people have been getting superpowers out of the blue in this known universe. But we have Dr. Edmonds, who is treating Danny Rand because he has been submitted to this psychiatric hospital that's kind of one flew over the get on with the plot. And we just... And he just is... You may have to accept the idea that the Iron Fist isn't real. A lot of people believe that they have superpowers. And like, okay, we know Thor is from a different dimension. Like, this is a known fact. So
we've
someone
seen.
Waltzing off into a different dimension is not unheard of in this universe. And yes, random people are getting superpowers all over the world. It's been a thing. There have been news scares and terrorism scares and an entire terrorism group that hates these people that are getting new powers. And you're sitting here and acting like it has never existed. And this is the right hand not knowing what the left one is doing in terms of show running and the MCU itself, because the primetime redheaded stepchild is not well loved, but it's still canon.
Right, right. Yeah, you're, it's, it really is.
I spent
I
a lot
applaud
of,
this rant because it's just so beautiful so to my nerdy soul. That was
I
wonderful.
I spent a lot of time very mad at that second episode for acting like people having superpowers was just this weird special thing. And if we'd had a scene with the Dr. Edmonds talking to someone else or saying, oh, but the people who got superpowers, one of them was exposed to gamma radiation, one of them built a suit, one of them was Captain America, and we know he was part of a government program. Like, if he'd gone down the only people who are already special get powers, this doesn't happen to random people. Like, if he believed that and we knew that about him, I would have been 100% down with the way he was talking to Danny.
He could have just been following protocol, too, though. Like, maybe he has, like, you know, superhero protocol where he, like, has to talk to them like they're not a superhero, but he actually knows, or, like...
But if we'd established that, I'd be down.
All right.
It's just this guy talking about, these are the facts of the world. I'm like, no, they're really not. Right. I realize watching the news is not fun in this day and age, but have you?
If this was the first show...
Yeah.
In Marvel's TV world. Okay, but it's not. We've had almost, you know, what, 3-4 years of TV at least?
I would have actually liked
four
if he
seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Given him the opportunity to prove that he was Iron Fist, and Danny, like, still, maybe if he still wasn't able to, like, produce the power,
right.
I think that would have been a much better, just dramatic arc, even for Danny. Why can't I connect to my powers here? Like, we know he was on drugs in the episode, but if they had, like, taken him off and he was still having issues connecting, and that's the thing, I feel like there's a lot of subtext missing. Like, there feels like there's zero subtext to this show.
Yeah, the subtext is text.
But why was he even having problems aligning his chi? Like,
because he was really medicated.
No, but before that, he had those headaches. Before he was even arrested and put
in those flashbacks.
He was kind of like shaking his head and flashback. So that that was kind of showing him with that problem.
Was that rage? Because I almost felt like that is really a good point. I'm confused about
it
now.
She has to be aligned to use the fist.
Okay, but does not alignment mean headaches? Like, I just don't understand.
Oh God, he's a super Saiyan.
It just means no fist.
He has to be hit to use his powers. He's a Saiyan.
I think he would have a lot of problems with Kilgrave though from Jessica Jones. Like, because I mean, he was emitting poison, so like he would never be able to use a chi. Like Danny Rand.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying, throwing that out.
Foolishness. I don't know.
Like, I buy the drugs being the reason that he couldn't make it work, and I buy him getting his alignment through getting the hell beaten out of him, because they established that. Like, there are things that this show does that actually make sense, that build on each other. There are things that it does that I like. The problem is they're all small things. I loved the M&Ms. I love
the M&Ms.
That was cute.
The M&Ms and the commercial bit. I loved that the whole... proving that he's Danny Rand by talking about all these tiny details about how he had to film a commercial and he hated it, and so they bribed him with the circus, and he sat next to Joy and he wanted to be an acrobat, and it was great. And then Joy, not knowing that conversation had happened, corroborating with it, oh yeah, we went to the circus afterwards, he wanted to be an acrobat, this and that and the other. And then the M&Ms thing, which is a thing that only they would know growing up as kids, and it was hilariously contrived that they sent a package to the hospital and that he managed to get it sent back out. Like, thank you, convenient Colleen. I love
no
you.
No melted M&Ms at all.
No!
I feel like these are the only parts of the first two episodes that are not explicitly told to us in exposition.
Yeah.
There's so much of this story is just being dictated verbally as opposed to actually showing us anything happening. Watching characters. Like, even the car scene with Ward, where he kind of kidnaps Ward and is like driving him around.
That was
it was terribly weird. One, because
he did some really good stunt driving for someone who has never driven.
Right. I just don't. One,
real
truth. Two, I don't understand like this rage. Like, I don't understand again a monk with rage. They're completely at like opposing ends, and to watch it happen. And for such little things, too. Like, Ward's being a jerk. Now I'm angry.
I would understand if rage had been an issue that he'd always struggled with, and if he has to be calm and focused in order to use the Iron Fist, and that was part of training the rage out of him, and that being back in New York and getting denied his identity and seeing this guy who's been a jerk to him for as long as he's been alive.
Try to follow that storyline.
Again, if that were the case, I'd be down.
So down.
I don't think that's the case.
Have we missed the reason he came back?
No, they have not explained that to us.
I mean, I think I know, but again, we can't say the comics.
Nope.
He has to fight/destroy
the hand, and I assume that he's had some tip off that the hand is active in New York. Like,
then I'm not going to talk about this now. Then
No, don't talk about it. We got the I am the Iron Fist. My sworn duty is to destroy the hand, fight the hand, whatever. And we got the nice little handprint on the outside of the window with Where did you go?
I really like that moment. I can't even deny. Like,
that was really good,
Madame Gao.
Those are some small hands.
It's got to be Madame Gao, and she is everything to me. I cannot wait for her to show up. I can't wait for the hand to finally reveal itself, because we've been talking about the hand for so long, for like forever and ever and ever.
Does such a good job where it is this impending doom that you know is always there.
And now it makes Meacham, oh my gosh, not Ward. Ward.
Harold. The names are on the board. I put them there for a reason.
It makes Harold Meacham...
Dad Meacham.
It makes him, like, kind of scary, too, because what is he doing with the hand? Did he get involved with them, and how much power does he have with them? It'll be interesting to see where he goes after these two episodes. I find him really fascinating.
I think he's working with the hand.
I think it's pretty obvious he's working with the hand. He's like a low-key villain.
But working with or
in servitude to, because where did you go does not say, we trust you and you're allowed to leave.
Right, yeah. so maybe servitude. But I think that, like, when push comes to shove, like, he's going to choose the hand over other things.
I don't think many people will go against the hand.
It kind of reminds me of, I'm sorry if you saw this movie, but the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that Michael Bay did.
I did, where, I liked it.
I'm so sorry.
I have a big Ninja Turtle fan.
I mean, I love the Turtles.
Me too.
They nailed the Turtles' personality.
Okay, we will talk
That is a very different conversation, and we will take you out back and educate you afterwards. But the fact we're going to have this catch me outside. How about that? The fact that we have our villains who are like, okay, we have this white guy who was originally cast as Shredder until the general fandom outcry was like, excuse me, what are you doing? So then we kind of have this white guy who's the face of the thing, and then we have Shredder in the background, who is scary and has no lines.
This is a white guy.
And that's how I feel about Harold. Just this white guy.
This is a white guy.
Just
this white guy. Like a baby.
Of you who are listening on iTunes, we're making some great hand motions up in here.
I don't know what's happening.
It's
anymore.
A cylinder. It's just this white guy. That's all the personality the white guy has.
Where'd he go? I don't know. It's just this white guy.
It's just this white guy. But that's kind of, thank you. That's the image that I'm getting right now of, we're presenting Harold Meacham of this bad guy, but the hand is in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you're kind of scary, but why did you fake your death? Why is your son still listening to you instead of dropping you like a cold potato?
So many questions about that.
And Kyle? Kyle has got to play into something, I swear to God.
Like, as a millennial and, like, a proud millennial, Kyle confuses the F out of me. I'm like, bro, you ain't got no backbone? You ain't asking for days off? You're not demanding that vacation? Like,
you're here till midnight?
He's gonna die.
Eventually. Kyle?
I think so.
Either he's gonna die, he's an agent of the hand that is there to keep an eye on them, or he's going to betray him at some point.
If Kyle is an agent of the hand, he is the best agent ever, because that performance is stunning.
What if Kyle was the boss of the hand?
Okay. That is a step too far, sir.
He's just like, hey, these are your handprints on my window?
But that's the point where we have an Asian organization with a white guy at the head, and then we wind up way back in problem o'clock.
I mean, Madame Gao's the head.
And Madame Gao deserves to be the head.
She's gotta be.
Maybe Kyle.
Again, people who have seen more episodes than those of us on the air.
Maybe Kyle.
Well, no, you could tell from... I mean, remember, it was
in Daredevil
season one. She's like, I'm going to go. And she's like, you're going back to Japan. She's like, someplace a little bit further.
Yeah.
It's Kunlun.
Yeah, Gao's been around. This is not.
How
spoilers.
Did she get to Kunlun if it does 15?
Well, they didn't say
it, whatever.
We do not know how. I think she is. Gao is with the hand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are Kyle's hands.
Can we talk about how the only thing enjoyable about this series so far is the women?
Yes.
Joy and Colleen give me so much hope for the series. I'm banking on them to be the story I come back to, because Colleen is dope, first of all. She commands her dojo.
But it's the fact that She just walks and carries herself like a martial artist.
Because she is a martial artist. Also, check her. Oh, my gosh. I cannot remember the actress's name. I'm so sorry.
Jessica Henwick.
Thank you. Yeah.
Henwick is last name. I think it's Jessica Henwick.
Yeah. Jessica Henwick's also trained with Louis Tan in the gym. They were all there
training. Also, she is a martial artist.
There is a video where she runs, does a jump, throws her sword in the air, stabs the...
scabbard.
Yes, down into the ground, and the sword just falls perfectly in place. And I was like, she could have been Iron Fist. Like, literally, at this point,
Danny Rand. D-A-N-I Rand. Let's go.
I would have been done.
Well, what we need is her and is it Simone Missick from Luke Cage to do a Daughters
Bring
of the Dragon.
Bring my Daughters
Those
of the Dragon
two Daughters of the Dragon.
That would be
Cut her arm off so we get her the robotic arm. And then we're gonna
They teased that so many times.
I know.
I'm ready
they
for
really did. I was like, "Here, it's gonna happen. It's gonna. Happening.
That's
the show that needs to be next.
Hold your horses, guys. We'll get there.
I don't think they have the CGI budget for that.
No, but also Joy. Yeah,
they don't have a budget for anything on this show.
Joy makes me happy stuff, and I believe she carries herself like a New York Upper East Side like. Business manager.
It's very
like, I 100% believe her in this role, and she's stunning.
Well, and God, I want her wardrobe. But I've seen complaints about, well, why is she doing this? Why is she listening to her brother? Well, when they were young, her presumably best friend died in a plane crash, and her brother has been the world's biggest asshole in forever and getting away with it. And basically, we assume, trained by his dad and under his dad's thumb to be that kind of personality since he was a kid. And when you are the only other kid in the family, your best friend is gone, and you're growing up with this, you learn how to navigate around someone who has a temper like that, who is liable to lash out, and when you know you're not going to get any parental support against them. There's a very specific way of navigating around that kind of personality that you will never be able to get away from because you are a rich family, and you are siblings, and you are inheriting this business. So she acts like that's how she's grown up. And I'm down with the writing. I'm down with the acting. I love Joy.
I love it.
I love it. I'm in. And I love that Colleen does street training for her students. Oh, my God.
That was so great.
So
I'm watching it. I'm like, this is terrible. Until it was revealed what it was.
Because
I was like, okay. Because at first I was like,
what are you training
She's getting attacked
for,
by gangsters. She's getting attacked by, these are the world's worst gangsters.
Like, what are they just waiting there in the corner?
It was kind of like the Pink Panther with Kato. You remember when Kato used to just pop out with the clown? Like, what's up? I was like, oh, it's kind of like that.
But these disenfranchised youth and young, she's taking them under their wing.
I get why they're like at the dojo and training, but what scenario specifically is this? Like, basically, you're teaching them to attack as a group, and I don't understand. Like, that's not a defensive mode.
Yeah.
Like, if she was the one attacking them, had like, you know, one student was the one in the center who was going to have to defend all of them off, that would make sense. But they were all attacking her, so I don't understand what that group training was meant.
She's
to
training
do.
Herself.
But here's the other
against
thing.
Against her students, that's not training up.
She's using reverse groupology.
In New York, we have at least two active vigilantes who are acting on their own, Hell's Kitchen and Harlem, respectively. And we have a lot of superpowered people coming out of the woodwork and a guy who can make you do whatever he wants you to do. Because has the word spread that Purple Man...
Right, that
Did
should,
we know that?
That should be
I
out.
Mean, the hand also attacked the hospital. They know it's kind of out there.
Yeah.
You know, word on the street and stuff. Not just the press. The press might have kind of covered over, but word on the street. Those Harlem and Hell's Kitchen, they do such a good job.
Well, they established those like superhero fight videos and Luke Cage, so people know what's happening somewhat, to some degree.
So I can understand street training, and then instead of doing each of them one-on-one and then attacking them, having the four-on-one and having it be, okay, this is what happens when it's one opponent. And because she's that skilled, she's able to focus on each of them individually. So it's not wasting anyone's time. It also works on their stealth in case they have to run and hide and get away from something.
I agree on that one, sure.
I guess. This still feels like backward storytelling to me. I would have much preferred, like,
We're talking about Iron Fist!
Yeah. It's wrong. I'm going to call out all of the problems.
Oh, yeah.
One by one. We will be here till midnight. Stay tuned.
We can't be here till midnight.
No,
I have to feed the cat.
That's too long. But just really quick back to Joy. What I like about her is you mentioned, like, she's, she's learning to navigate this difficult relationship, but also she does have a lot of agency. Like, she straight up poisoned Danny. And, like, the whole time I was taking notes for this episode, I was like, oh, my gosh, Joy is just so great. Like, oh, she loves Danny, and Danny's going to have a friend. oh my God, she's devious.
But that makes her even better.
Whatever. But it makes her 20 times better. Because now you don't know which way Joy is coming from, and she feels authentic because of some creepy person who's claiming to be a dead best friend of mine. I'd also be like, you have to go now.
But I got the impression that the poisoning wasn't her idea. That it was Ward's, and that she was pushed into going along with it because she had immediate regrets while he was still passed out on her floor. Like, yes, I feel bad about that. I don't think we should have.
I mean, she doesn't get her hands dirty much.
You're gonna do the thing, and she went, I don't see a way around this.
She doesn't get her hands dirty much, though. I kind of feel like she sticks to the paperwork before Danny came into the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, she's new.
Again, Ward's in charge. Ward has been known to have temper tantrums and to lash out. And there are some ways you just kind of dance around that, even when you're adult. If you've been living with that your whole life, you kind of go, yeah, okay.
Amazing.
Like, I'm with her. I think that is very well written for her. I feel like whoever wrote her part grew up with that.
Because that type of person,
yeah,
okay,
or a similar situation, or knows someone who grew up
to be like, hey, this is what that situation really looks like. It does feel authentic. Yeah. All of the women feel pretty authentic. Hey, a little bit Colleen feels authentic, but I also feel like if some crazy person you met like 2 days ago calls you and was like, come help me, I'm in a mental hospital, you'd just be like, click. And also, like, don't call here again.
You should teach kung fu. Excuse you, who do you think you are?
Yes,
you need to leave. But it feels like the women are authentic and the guys are caricatures.
Yeah. I like Ward's caricature, though.
We have Ward, the screaming cartoon villain. We have Dad, the devious guy in the background.
Let me roll back.
You're not supposed to like Ward.
Ward has the most punchable face.
He does.
He has the most punchable face?
Yes.
Ward? Yeah, no, he does.
It just begs for
punching. They do these things on Twitter. Have you seen them? They're like motion pictures of the actors, and they're kind of just staring at the camera, and they just do these weird head things.
Yeah.
And that was a punchable face on him. He reminds me a little bit of Patrick Bateman, like, American Psycho, like all those the slick back hair, nice suits. I know that's the look. I know that's what they're going for.
Well,
but I'm just like,
there's a couple of things you could draw to. He kind of looks like a Trump kid. He kind of looks like every 80s villain ever.
Yeah.
You know?
And which was the basis for, they came up because of Trump in the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, what I like about him is, like, I like 80s villains. Like, I just kind of wish Danny was the funny, like, haha, I'm going to piss you off guy and get under your skin.
You wish he were a little more of an 80s protagonist.
Instead of trying to meet him with anger. Like, that doesn't give a good dynamic. Like, you're both upset, but you don't have, like, the Jason Statham levels of, like, glare to pull that off. Yes. You know?
He's a golden doodle. He's not intimidating.
And here's the thing.
They need to hide the hair and the eyes, and then he'll be scary. We need the mask.
If they were going to go with this arc to be, like, just a Danny that you would be afraid of, yes, I completely agree. But I do feel like this look is not necessarily an issue for Danny Rand. Like, Danny Rand, to me, doesn't need to necessarily be the beefiest guy. I just need him to have a sense of, like, playfulness, a little bit of calm. He basically needs to be Aang from Avatar. Like, that to me is pretty close to who Danny Rand is. Like, he's at peace. He's got a lot of issues he's still trying to overcome, but he kicks butt, and don't piss him off because he will kill you if he has to. Like, that's just, he will just lay down the law.
Right.
But he's also acting like a golden doodle. He's acting like a dog that's been kicked and can't figure out why.
Like, was anyone else so just, like, Danny has this great moment with the dog, and this is the first moment where I was like, oh, we're gonna get like that zen feeling that I should have with Danny. Like, I was so excited.
Yeah.
And he crouches down, and then he just closes the door, and I'm like, no! Jokes! Laugh! Like, I want to laugh, and I've not laughed once. There is no joking in this series, and I don't get it.
I
don't
feel like why we have something made comedy. Me laugh, but I don't remember what it was.
Because, like, even, like,
that's bad.
Even in Jessica Jones, which is super, like, she has her dark sense of humor, and it's legitimately hysterical.
Right.
You've got, in Luke Cage, you have more heartfelt, warm, kind of gooey laugh moments, where it's like, oh, Pop, come on, you know, or, like, as he's falling in love with Claire, there's, like, they have that silly kind of banter.
Yeah.
Daredevil's got Foggy, who's just, like, a laugh machine.
God
and just
bless Foggy.
Bringing you all of the warmth. I have, like, even Colleen, who's really cool, like, since they started her off in her Daughter of the Dragon storyline so soon, we didn't get, like, a chance for her to be, like, the warm friend. They don't even really feel like friends at this point. It's still kind of this weird...
They're arm's-length acquaintances, and spending the second episode of the series in a mental hospital helped with none of that.
It is
episode 4 territory, when you can take a detour from what you've established and kind of go, all right, we're going to do this, we're going to go into it, we're going to do all this stuff. Okay, now we're going to release you back in the world, let's do the thing.
Yeah.
It was too early to have that detour.
Agree.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a scenario that would have been better placed
so
a little later in
the series.
So
Danny should be more comical. Is that what we're...
Not even... It's
Danny should have a personality.
Yeah?
More comical? And see, I don't even mind the, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, like, storyline, because it, to me, a guy who just comes back, who's dressed like a dream, like, it makes, like, logical next step sense. I almost wish that we'd scrap the entire pilot and use this as our first episode, and that we, like...
Or combine them, one and two, and take elements and just... combine.
Like, if he'd been sent to the mental hospital the first time he walked in and said, I'm Danny Rand,
Bingo.
I'm Danny Rand, and then beat a bunch of people up.
Yeah, start right there, and then don't have Colleen as the easy way out. Like, it's just, so many events are just too contrived, and they make it feel like he hasn't really had to struggle for anything yet. Like, being locked in a mental hospital with a person who wants to kill you is bad, but only overcoming that because you were in a straitjacket and some guys punched you and now your superpower came back. There's no, like, there's no self-discovery for him in there. There's no growth for him. There's no major setbacks in there, really. He was just in there for a short stint of time.
We had more character growth from the doctor.
We did have more character growth from
the
doctor.
And Harold, kind of.
Well,
Harold... Because he goes from a non-believer to a believer. Like, he's like, oh, who is this guy to, like... Hey, no, protect him, put him in
Harold
my house.
Harold at least has a good arc, and the actor has a lot to do within that arc of the story.
Because Ward ends up overstepping his father. His father's like, hey, protect him. But he's like, nah, I'm like, take him out, right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Do you guys sense something?
I didn't get that until I went back to Wiki and reread the summaries for these episodes. Like, those are his men, and that was what... Oh, that's what happened there. Okay, I thought we just threw him in a room because...
Do we get a sense that what?
And this, again, because I have a couple episodes out, but I don't know this. I almost feel like Ward is using... Harold is using Danny because he believes in the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But that's his way against the hand.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think he's going to make a power play to get away from the clutches of whatever's going on with that.
This will be his security guard. And Ward just is, Harold is obviously the kind of person who's like, look, I'm not going down without a fight. He apparently died of cancer. Maybe. We don't know. But for whatever reason, he's still around.
Or faked his death elaborately.
Right. Yeah. Super elaborately, because cancer tends to be, like, slow, so it wouldn't. We're still trying to figure it out, but like they, for whatever reason, he is now indebted to the hand, and we get this sense that he's kind of caged up, and yet he's still like, there's probably still hope somewhere in here. I can't go outside and talk to people, but like I could probably get this guy to protect me. Like, he's just not going to give up, and that makes him a really interesting villain, because when you have your back against the wall, I feel like most villains are like, I was going to whip out my gun and like kill everybody, or like we saw with... oh boy, bald-headed dude from Daredevil Season 1.
Kingpin.
Thank you. Who just is like, I'll just smash heads in when I
That's
get
true.
Frustrated.
That's true.
God, that scene.
So good. But I feel like Harold is going to be more of the, like, what's my next step here? Let me view all of my options. I'm going to set my chessboard up correctly, and then I'm going to knock people down. I feel like he could potentially actually be a danger to the hand, which is really exciting.
Yeah, Harold is going to try and, like, take over the hand or something like that. I could definitely see that happening.
I was just trying to figure out why he faked his death. And I can understand it being the hand saying, we need you to be able to do X, Y, and Z. We need you to be able to operate from the shadows. We need you to do this, and then have your son be your hand in the business.
Can we start? Can we lay down some predictions?
Yeah, we'll do that, and then we'll back up and talk about iTunes. Yeah, do we have anything else to talk about
now,
for the episodes?
You're after Buzz TV.
Prediction.
No light show?
Yay!
Light show! Yeah!
We have got more color palette than Iron Fist has right now.
Truly,
we do.
You would
think they would use a little green somewhere.
Accurate.
Even the pictures for Defenders said they're all almost color tinted.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole show of Luke Cage has got that orangish-yellowish wash, and Jessica Jones the purple. Like, green.
Now it's
green.
The opening theme of Iron Fist is a guy doing a kata, and it's gray and black. It's so boring.
But watching that, though, I'm watching going, that should be Iron Fist moving. The way he's...
Definitely.
He's an actual martial artist.
Exactly. Especially, at least when he gets Iron Fist. Like, now he's like all, like, robot-like.
That opening was great, though.
It was dope.
That's how he should be.
That's...
The choreography was good, but it was just black on gray. Come on, guys.
So silly.
Is that what we're working with?
It was probably a martial artist doing it.
It should have been black on white, honestly.
And green on yellow.
Green on yellow. Yellow on green.
And okay, so can we just talk yellow about on green real quick before we get into predictions? He's in that. He's being chased through the thing. He picks up that mask to put on.
Yeah.
Why didn't he pick up some kind of... Why didn't the filmmakers a yellow kind of thing put around his face? And he takes it, so later, eventually, he's got that.
Or like a dragon mask, or like
something face thing.
They mean they jacked up that entire scene front to back. We've seen this scene in Spectre. We've seen it in, if you guys watch Westworld, you've seen it. Like, you've seen
the,
like,
wasn't good
really
either.
Intense. No, but that scene was bomb.
True.
Like the mask crowd, one guy in a mask escaping a crew, has been done to death in this. And to have it placed in what I assume is Chinese New Year, which is a very vibrant, beautiful festival. And the whole thing looks flat. And on top of that, the whole time, I'm like, Danny is right there, sir. You can see him.
He has a mask on, but he's still wearing very different clothes from everyone else. And he still has that big, fluffy, golden doodle hair.
I never feel like he gets lost in the crowd.
No.
And then the mask, it's not even shot in a way where it's, like, exciting to follow him through the crowd. Where you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? The whole time,
and
I'm like, I see
this
planned out.
Has he taken a shower yet? Like, couldn't you smell him?
He really should.
You could probably smell him. You don't really have to see him.
Yeah. They probably
hosed him down in the hospital.
Okay.
Gross.
He was in there for 3 days. They probably hosed him down.
I didn't mean to sidetrack us, but it just hit me, and I was just like, wow.
It's a legitimate.
It's appropriate. No, okay, predictions. I think that Harold is in some kind of, like, business trouble. Because to me, my first thought was when he, like, faked his death. It's like, oh, if you're dead, they can't prosecute you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I feel
like
maybe he did something corporation-wise that got him a little messed up.
I think that the hand required him to step away as a public figure. Like, we still need you, and we still need your business, but we don't need you at the helm of your business. We need you to be able to do other things.
So do you think Ward is more controllable?
I don't know if he's as controllable, but he's definitely being controlled. And we saw that, and we saw him go against what his dad wanted, and I'm sure that we're going to see the consequences for that come down the line. I really want someone to discover that Harold is in that tower, because I'm sitting there going, all right, but Kyle comes in and out a lot, and there's got to be security in the building that knows that. Do you just own the entire building and there's no one else in it?
I mean, if they can put security cameras inside of a mental hospital...
Because why?
I just feel like there's nothing they can do.
And how is his cybersecurity? How are people not noticing these accounts? All it's going to take is for someone to get a hold of one thread and pursue it. And the whole thing is going to unravel, because I feel like there's a lot that was not considered there.
Okay.
And
I really want Kyle... If it's airtight, they've got lawyers for days. It shouldn't be
too hard.
To
defend a dead man?
Well, no, to defend the company. Like, usually if you're that vested into a company where you own that many shares, the company will lay out a lot of the groundwork of things for you. So, like, your will and your estate and all these other things, you have your company lawyers, like, because his family owns the whole thing after the Rands died. So I imagine that, like, maybe the apartment is a company apartment. Maybe it's now in Ward's name. And so there's no concern over who's coming in and out. Like, Ward comes out and then his assistant dude comes out. And they don't really necessarily need to worry about Harold. I figure, like, that part didn't really concern me so much, because Ward is coming in and out, like, what seems like on a near daily basis, at least a weekly basis.
And he could have a different identity, maybe, too, on the outside world. I mean, when he's talking to his family.
Well, I don't know, he's so big,
he's
he has those commercials everywhere. I feel like people would know his face.
Yeah.
That's true. He can't just be Bruce Wayne and gallivant off and expect, we're halfway across the world and the internet doesn't exist. Like, no, it's not. The show... It's smarter than that. It has its issues, but it's smart enough to realize that the internet exists. Like, that is a thing. I am also sincerely expecting Kyle to be a bigger piece on the chessboard than everyone gives him credit for. I am expecting a betrayal coming down the line, him actually working as the hand to keep a direct eye on Harold.
With Kyle, I'm hoping it's more that we're getting his very true, honest nature right now, and later we see him snap and stab Harold in the back.
I want it to be
completely unseen, where he just, like, all of that pressure and all of that hate and all of that degradation just bursts out of him, and one, he's just like, die, Harold! Yeah. And I'd be like, yes, Kyle, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yep. I love that from Kyle. Yeah. I'm more vested in Kyle than in a lot of people in this show.
But Harold will take over, I'm pretty sure. Or something crazy gonna happen to Harold. I think when it comes to the hand, like it seems like he's under their servitude, but like he's slick, he's smart. Like maybe he gets lessons from Danny to like do his own type of Iron Fist. I mean, he doesn't have superpowers, but he can learn martial arts, you know?
Could be.
He has a punching bag in his house.
That he does. You know? That he does.
He's ready.
Yeah, any other predictions?
Do you? I'm a few episodes ahead, but this will not predict to anything that I've seen. I think this hand dealing with Harold has to deal with, they talk about Midland Circle, that real estate area with the giant hole in the ground that we still don't know anything about. I think this is all tied to that with Harold. Something with the Rand Corporation maybe having money in this area or in real estate. So I think we're kind of coming to that.
The guys on VHL said that they want the world to turn and that hole to become the tunnel. And then that's like an epic fight scene. The next tunnel scene happens in there. I don't think that will happen, but I'll be very excited if we get a very long, like, downward tunnel scene. That would be pretty great.
We need a good hallway fight. We haven't had a straight-up good hallway fight yet.
We're getting it in this show. Seeing what
a
we're
good
being,
one?
Seeing what we're
yeah,
getting.
Yeah, Colleen.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Louis Tan is going to show up soon, guys. And I check, if you don't know about Louis Tan, you really got to check his stuff out. He kicks so much butt. His father is like a martial arts legend. He's really cool. And he's coming up. And I know that they did not waste all of that talent and all of that beauty. I'm sure he's going to be amazing.
Well, I said we need a good hallway fight. I didn't say that Danny needed to be
okay, all right. That's why I was confused.
Just said a good fight, y'all.
Okay.
Okay, if that is all we have for predictions, I'm going to take a real quick moment to talk to you guys about iTunes. We are a brand new show on this network, so we are brand new getting released. The best thing that you can do for us, if you want to keep us as an after show on this network, if you want to keep Marvel, Netflix, AfterBuzz, that wonderful conglomeration going, the best thing you can do is to go onto iTunes and subscribe. You should be able to put in AfterBuzz, Iron Fist, and find us. Subscribe, leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you leave us good ratings, it makes us easier to find in iTunes search, and our producers take a look at the ratings and go, people like this after show. Let's keep doing it. And it keeps us on the air as a show. Also, when you leave reviews, you will get a shout-out on the show. Obviously, this is the very first episode, and it hasn't come out yet, so we don't have reviews. But when we do... So, yeah, that is my plea, too. Please and thank you. Keep us on the air. It will be great. Yeah. Do we have any final thoughts on these episodes?
This is a really weak beginning, but I'm hoping that, I think we talked about this earlier, that we're having a reverse Luke Cage moment. Where instead of starting fabulous and ending a little weaker, we're hoping that maybe it's a little weak at the beginning and we grow into a very strong show.
Yes, that's what we're hoping
for. I'm holding out hope. I love the MCU. Like, I love everything about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is my first, like, really big hiccup, and so I'm hoping they write this ship. I'm hoping that maybe it just got off to a rough start and it blossoms.
I just need more epic fight scenes. Like, I never really believed in it. I just need to see more action. Like, cool action, though, too. Like, I want to see flips off tables and, like, parkour. Yeah. You know, like, Danny. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems
I
like
wanna
a...
see some cool
he's a
booty.
You know, like, maybe some Samurai Jack stuff. I know that's a cartoon, but, like...
No, that's
like you know, going across a road, you know, type road.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys watch Into the Badlands.
I sure do!
They should have Danny fighting like that. The people around him don't need to, but he needs to be wired... pulling off buildings, jumping on the... That's what Danny needs to be.
Right.
Almost borderline superhuman.
I want to see him do some, like, widow tricks with her double swords. Like, come on, guys. So she's great.
We're just... There's promise. There's problems. But there's promise. And we are just sincerely hoping for more.
Marvel has the goodwill. They have goodwill established with what they do. So... we're going to put trust in that.
And when the Iron Fist happens, like, make it more epic, too. That's another thing. When he goes Iron Fist form, he's just like...
Let me say this. I will say that I did not expect to see it so early on. Mm. So I'm thankful for that, that they didn't wait 7 episodes to finally see his Iron Fist. We got a little bit of it. Okay. They went with it a little bit.
I just need the screen to pop, like, glisten.
Like,
you know?
It was not
underplayed.
You know, very underplayed.
But it feels like the wrong moment to reveal the Iron Fist. Like, this is the end of... This is, like... the final chess move. This is the killer.
Gotcha.
And you brought up three guys in a room, Danny. And I feel like Danny should be like, oh, three regular human dudes. I got this. Like,
you don't even need the Iron Fist for that. There's just security
guards. It's weird that that's what it's revealed.
You gotta go.
I'm going to be this person. It feels a lot like, oh, I can't make my iron fist work. Oh, I have to be in the mood. He's talking about his dick.
I want it. Yeah. You need some Viagra. That was the problem.
He was on the wrong pills, and he wasn't excited. And then when we got to see it, it was just kind of disappointing.
They didn't have Viagra where he came from. Aww, he didn't know about it.
Natural remedies in Kunlun. Natural remedies. Like,
oh, he probably owns it, too. You know, the Rand Corporation owns it.
Okay, I'm good.
I died a little, but I'm so happy.
And on that note, thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. We really super appreciate it. Emmanuel, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Young Camel Toe. That's Y-U-N-G Camel Toe. Twitter, Dear Vit Spitz.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. If you head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now, you can check out my new Power Rangers review before you buy that ticket on Friday.
I'm Mike Konosky. You can find me here on AfterBuzz for MacGyver Taken and Into the Badlands starting tomorrow. Also, our sister network, I'm over there at DC Movie News.
Jesse and Lucretia should be back next week, so we will have our normal panel, I suppose, next week. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on all of the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet, that is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on the Snapchat at Kia Prime. Star Wars Rebels is Sunday at 8 p.m., and guys, we have a two-part season finale, and it's going to be nuts.
It's so cool.
Samurai Jack starts in that same time slot the week after that, so we'll be there for that. And Arrow is back on Wednesdays, and it's going completely insane. So life is going to be great. I am also on Gather Your Party on Geek and Sundry on Friday nights. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.